Our reading this evening is Psalm 138, and it's also the psalm that we want to consider together this evening. Psalm 138. We'll read all of this short psalm. It's on page 626 of the Pew Bible. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty, the proud, he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Amen. And may the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and hearing of his own word. Well, I want to look at this Psalm 138 this evening. In 2 Samuel 23, God's word describes David as the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And also in 2 Samuel 23 in verse 1, we have the last recorded words of David himself. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." In 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, the Apostle Peter says, "Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so we have here in Psalm 138, the sweet psalmist of Israel, moved by the Spirit of God. And he was moved to write nearly half of the collection of psalms that we have in the book of Psalms in the Psalter. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through his servant David here in Psalm 138. It's the first in a group of eight psalms ascribed to David, and they are the last of the psalms of David that we have in the Psalter. And Psalm 138 is a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise, and a psalm of trust in the Lord. It's a very appropriate psalm for us to consider together as we draw to a close in 2020. Thanksgiving, praise, and trust. But it is trust in the face of trouble. Trust in the face of trouble, or trust in the face of difficult days when things aren't going as well as we might hope. The believer has much to rejoice in and to thank God for. When we trust in Christ, we are given a new heart. We're given a new life. We're given eternal life. We're given a living relationship with God. We are given a sure hope, a never-ending relationship with God in heaven for all eternity. But again and again in the Scriptures would remind us that for the moment, in this life, all of these blessings, all of these great things that we enjoy as the people of God, all of these blessings are set in the context of difficult experiences and sufferings. In Christ, we have been made exceedingly rich. We are said to be joint heirs with Christ. There is a great prospect that is set before us. We are joint heirs with Christ. But while we are here on earth, we will encounter troubles, difficulties, and sorrows. And yet we know from the instruction of God's word that God is pleased to use such difficulties, such trials, to develop our character, our Christian character, our spiritual walk, our trust in Him. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5 and verses 3 to 4 says, tribulation, a squeezing, the pressure, the trouble produces perseverance. It works in us, teaches us how to hang in there, to keep going. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Knowing this, we can therefore rejoice even in times that are difficult, even in times of trial, knowing that God has a good purpose for us in and through them. They're not pleasant experiences. They might be painful, difficult experiences. But nevertheless, just like we learn from the life of Paul, we can have a completely different perspective when things are going contrary to us. That even in these things, God has a plan and purpose for our good and for our well-being. Our joy in the Lord in this life, in this joy, we do have joy, but in this joy we need to recognize and to remember that it is set very often in the context of suffering. And we need to remember that when things are hard and when we are suffering, that there is still good reason for us to have joy, to rejoice in God. This was Paul's experience. It was the Lord's own experience, and it is the pattern for us. And as many of you can testify for yourselves, it's your own experience that such difficult times, such troubles, might be times when the Lord is more precious to you, closer to you, or a sense of His closeness being more apparent to you. So it's no surprise for us that if this is the way of the Lord, to find that it was also David's experience in Old Testament times. Psalm 138 is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise, but it is set in a context of tribulation. As so often in David's psalms, his enemies are never that far away. One writer refers to David's experience here in Psalm 138 as the special gratitude, the thankfulness, the special gratitude of one who has been much threatened. And he was threatened on many, many occasions, not only from without, but also from within. The special gratitude of one who's been much threatened, but much protected. The Lord has countered the many threats against David by many, many deliverances. We might only see, or we might often only be able to see when things threaten us, when there is opposition, when there are difficulties. It is these things that loom large in our vision, our perspective of the situation. But we might fail to see or to understand how God encounters them with many, many deliverances, and how many are His gracious dealings with us. But here in this psalm, David has been able to see it. He's been able to understand it, how God has done this for him. Perhaps it's on reflection as he has looked back and he's seen how God has brought him through the situation. But David is able to see, and he thanks God in this psalm that for when he cried out to him in a difficult time, in the day of trouble, that the Lord brought about deliverance for him as he had done on so many occasions. So first of all, we want to learn from David. In verses 1 to 3, David crying out in the day of weakness. Crying out in the day of weakness. As I said, it's a thanksgiving psalm. I will praise you, says David. I will praise you with my whole heart. I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. Here he is at the beginning of the psalm, and he's bursting with thanksgiving and with praise. But as I said, it's set in the context of pain. His praise comes out of his pain. And how do we know that? It's because it's coming out through his cry. He's crying to God. He's crying to God for help. And in his cry to God for help, he's praising God and thanking God. And God heard his cry. God hears him, hears his cry. But not only did he hear him, he answered him. He answered his cry, and he changes his cry to praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes God causes us to wait on him, to pray about some particular matter. Some difficulty comes, some trouble comes, where we find ourselves thrust into a situation that we didn't see it coming, and we pray about it. And God makes us to wait. And we pray about it again. And we ask others to pray with us. And we pray again. Remember another psalm of David when he cries out in prayer. In Psalm 40, he says, I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length, to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. Tribulation, pressure, perseverance, character. Nonetheless, he heard my cry. At length, but he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established, he made firm, he made solid and sure my steps. Sometimes the Lord sees fit to make us stay in the waiting room of some difficult experience so that we don't take him for granted, in order for us to realize that we can't get out of it ourselves, and nobody else that we turn to can get us out of it either. We need him. We need to acknowledge him. We need to lean upon him. We need to trust him. But then there are other times when the Lord knows that the cry of one who needs immediate attention. Anyone with children, you come to know when a cry is just something for attention, and something that requires urgent attention. You can differentiate between the two. The Lord knows the cry of someone who needs immediate attention. In Psalm 138 and verse 3, he says, "When I cried out, you answered me." The Lord gives his immediate attention. There's no waiting, like Psalm 40. There's no delay. God answered him. We ought to cry out to God in our days of weakness, in our days of need, because really there is not a day, there's not a moment that we shouldn't realize that we are in need, that we are weak, and we need to cry out to God for his grace and for his mercy. We experience physical weaknesses. Cry out to God in times of physical weakness. Paul says, the outward man is perishing. We need to cry out to God to be strengthened. We might not be strengthened in the outer man, but he will certainly strengthen us in the inner man. We can cry out like Paul did, that God would remove some thorn in the flesh. He might deliver us. He might free us. He might heal us, if it is his will. Or it might be like for Paul, that he will leave whatever that thorn might be, but he will give his grace to bear it, grace sufficient. Just like for Paul, it was to keep him humble and it was to keep him dependent upon God. Crying out in times of physical weakness, crying out in the day of spiritual weakness. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle with temptation. Paul says, the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. O wretched man that I am. He asks the question, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. I thank God, deliverance through Jesus Christ, crying out to God in the day of weakness, of spiritual weakness. We're reminded again and again that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're in battle against spiritual beings that we cannot even see, who are against us and seek to destroy us and to undermine us and undermine the work of the kingdom. We need spiritual strength in such weakness. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. And in putting on the armor of God, he says, don't forget to pray, put on the armor of God, but pray, crying out to God in the day of weakness. Crying out to God at times of emotional, mental weakness. We can be afflicted in the very depths of our beings. It might be that it comes through our physical weakness or our spiritual weakness, that it also affects our emotional or our mental well-being. And we see this again and again in the Psalms. We can be afflicted in the very depths of our being. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced it, but it happens to me every now and again. I can't explain it. I might be sitting there, just going about my business, and it's almost like a heavy cloud. You know that sort of, like when you know there's thunder in the air or there's lightning in the air, and you can feel a heaviness, and it's like this heaviness draws over. And I thank God that every time that something like that has happened, it hasn't lasted for very long, and I've just called out to him for help, for strength through whatever this is that might be coming over me. Just a sense of being under something, an emotional or a mental weakness or affliction. Psalm 42, Psalm 43, they're a pair. And both of them, the psalmist says, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you cast down, my soul? We might feel at times as if God is at the far ends of the earth from us. It's not the case. But we might feel that because of our circumstances, because of our situation, because of whatever's going on. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Sometimes we might know the reason why, sometimes we might not. Here's what the psalmist does. Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. He is the help of my countenance and my God. Something that I remember, oh, I've forgotten his name now, maybe I shouldn't have said it. From New York, originally from Canada, New York, and he preached here. Rich Gantz. I always remember him being in this pulpit, and he was talking about a project. I don't know if he ever did it, and he was going through the Psalms, and as somebody who'd been involved in the work of psychiatry, he was interested, and he said that what he could see in the Psalms, as you read the Psalms, in all of them except one where the psalmist is crying out to God, that there's this plea to God, a cry to God, and by the time you get to the end of the psalm, the whole thing's completely turned around, and he's giving thanks, he's praising God. And he said, what happened? And this is what he was going to go away and research, but I don't know if he ever did it, but that stuck with me. And the reason, he said, well, what does happen? How does the psalm begin in this distress, in these cries, these tears to God? And then by the end, he's praising and thanking God. What happened? It's not necessarily that the situation changed. What happens is that he looks to God. That's what the pivot is. That's what transforms the whole thing. His perspective changed. At the beginning, he's under the cloud. He's under whatever it is that's threatening to overwhelm him, that's distressing him. He's being crushed by it. And he's not overwhelmed by it. What he does was he goes to the God who is over all things and is almighty and all-powerful. And he cries out to him. And because he does so, his perspective of the whole thing completely changes. And he remembers who God is, what God has done, what God can do for him. And it's this perspective that changes his whole outlook on his situation. And he's able to praise and to thank God. And it's very much the same here in Psalm 138. David's in trouble, but he has experienced this again and again throughout his life. The many deliverances of God for him. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. He is the help of my countenance and my God. Cry out to God in the day of weakness. God answered David's cry and made him bold with strength in his soul. We're not told that the Lord lifted him out of the situation or that the situation ever even changed. But what God did do, just as he had done for Paul with his thorn in the flesh, what he did do was he equipped him. He equipped David to go through it. He says, he made me bold with strength in my soul. How does God do that for us? Make us bold with strength in our soul. It's when he turns our darkness into light. He turns the quagmire, the miry clay, into solid rock. When he turns our despair into hope. When he turns a mountain into a molehill. And he does so by revelation of himself. Revelation of himself. Revelation of his ways. Revelation of his purposes for us. A revelation that comes to us through his word. As God's Spirit applies it to our hearts, to our lives, to our present situations. But God's word will only be a lamp for our feet and a light to our path if we are reading it, if we are recalling it, if we are meditating upon it. It will only make us wise if we avail of it. So often it's the case that we stumble and we crawl along through our troubles and we're groping for direction and for help simply because we don't look to Him for instruction, for the way ahead, for the light, the way to go. Cry out to God in the day of weakness. So David's cry is his prayer. Have we prayed about our needs? Have we prayed about our needs? Yes, God knows what our needs are. I always remember that passage in the Gospel where it speaks about blind Bartimaeus and he's crying out. He's crying out to the Lord. And the Lord comes over. They don't want him to go near him. And the Lord goes to Bartimaeus and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, it's totally obvious. I'm blind. The Lord says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The Lord does know our needs, but He wants us to tell Him what we need so that we realize that we are dependent upon Him and that when He answers, when He responds, we will know it has come from Him. God will answer. God will answer. He will make us bold with strength in our souls. And He will do so by and through His Word. His Holy Spirit will comfort us, will counsel us, will instruct us, will guide us, will direct us through His Word. And we mustn't forget to always give thanks and praise. Paul reminds us again and again to be anxious about nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter how many times we've read that, and we've heard that, and we've understood that, we need to read that, and hear that, and understand it again and again and again. Just think about the riches of our blessings in and through Jesus Christ, crying out in the day of weakness. Secondly, rejoicing in the glory of the Lord. Rejoicing in the glory of the Lord. Verses 4 to 6. David praises God for his own deliverance, and now he's looking forward to the kings of the earth joining with him in that praise. As God's word spreads throughout the earth and men learn of the ways of the Lord and of His great glory, David anticipates that mighty and powerful men will come to know the Lord as their deliverer also. They will praise Him too, the same eternal Lord. They will sing His praises and give Him the glory. Paul tells us of a day, Philippians 2, verses 10-11 that we thought about this morning, tells us of a day when at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming, and in the meantime God's word is spreading and going forth and changing lives. And as God's word spreads, verse 4, when they hear the words of your mouth, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, transformed by the word of God, changed by the word of God. For great is the glory of the Lord. As we take God's word, His good news of salvation, His way of dealing with sinners, when they turn from sin and turn to Him and pass that message on, others too shall be brought to rejoice in the glory of the Lord. That's the work that He has given us to do. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. How to be reconciled with God, how to be at peace with God, it's only through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the message that He has given to us. That is what has changed us, and we are to pass that message on to others, to make God, to make His gospel known to all. We can speak to others, we can give them literature, we can invite them to services, to hear his words, to hear his words, that's that others may sing to his glory. God's glory is not only seen in his ways, it's seen in his power and in his majesty, but also in his caring. Verse 6, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. God is high, he's above, he is set apart from his creatures, but he deals so favorably with those that are lowly. He delivers them out of their affliction. Those who acknowledge their need and their weakness before him experience his care and his keeping. But the proud, the self-righteous, the self-sufficient, they are far from him. So crying out in the day of weakness, rejoicing in the glory of the Lord. Finally, verses 7 and 8, walking in the midst of trouble. Walking in the midst of trouble. David praises God for answered prayer. He rejoices in God's glory, which will extend as his ways are made known. And now David turns back to his present situation. He's still walking in the midst of trouble. The situation hasn't changed. His enemies are still threatening him. He needs the Lord to preserve him and to stand by him. The believer isn't immune from trouble and from adversity. But the wonderful thing is that the believer doesn't face the troubles of life, the difficulties of life alone. The unbeliever is on their own. Totally on their own. But not so for the believer. The Lord is our shepherd. Our shepherd to give us pasture, to give us refreshment, to give us rest at the right, at the perfect time that it is needed. He guides us. He is with us. I will fear no evil, says the psalmist. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Verse 7 is the language of faith. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Here is trust in the Lord while walking in the midst of trouble. The Lord's right hand, the Lord's right hand signifies his strength and his help. It's a reminder to us that without Christ we can do nothing. But on the other hand, Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We might be walking in the midst of trouble today. You might have some particular trouble of your own. I might have my trouble. Trouble might come upon any one of us this evening, tomorrow, in the new year. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. By faith, not by sight. If you look at the trouble and you concentrate on the trouble and you focus on the trouble, you will be in trouble. It will threaten to overwhelm you. We're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our focus is to be. That's where our eyes are to be fixed, on him. When everything would appear to be confusion, darkness, and threatening to overwhelm us, we're to trust in God. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. I'm sure there are times when someone that we know ends up in great difficulty, ends up in a situation of great suffering, of great pain, and we wonder to ourselves, what would we do in that situation? How would we feel? How would we cope? And we look at them and they seem to be held up and strengthened and able to get through. And the Lord is giving them grace. The Lord is giving them grace. And He does. He does. Ask anybody. Ask anyone who's had gone through some difficulty in the past year. And they'll say, the Lord was with me. Though I walked in the midst of trouble, He preserved my life. He stretched out His hand against those who were against me. His right hand, His strength, His help has delivered me. The Lord has a purpose for us, for each one of us. And He's working out that purpose for our good through our trials as well as through our blessings. Verse 8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. What is it that concerns you? The Lord is going to use that to perfect you. Think about it this evening. What is it that troubles me? What is it that makes me to be anxious? And put this phrase in front of it. The Lord will perfect whatever it is. He will perfect it. Whether we're hard-pressed, whether we're threatened, walking in the midst of trouble, David says, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Lamentations 3 reminds us in the heart of that terrible book, talking about judgment, the judgment of the people of God. And at the very heart of it, we have that reminder that every day, we experience new mercy, new faithfulness from God. The Lord never takes His eyes off us. We're never out of His hand. He is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, He is always faithful. This word that David uses here for mercy in verse 8 is the word for God's covenant love. God's covenant love. He's made a covenant with us, and He has sealed that covenant, that promise, that He will be our God and we will be His. He has sealed it by the blood of His own Son. That's how precious we are to Him. He has sealed His love by the blood of His own Son. Rejoice in the context of suffering, walking in the midst of trouble, but knowing that your mercy, your covenant love, O Lord, endures forever. Romans, the end of Romans chapter 8. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The psalm ends with this prayer, do not forsake the work of your hands. Philippians 1 verse 16, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He will not forsake the work that He has begun in us. And so let us praise Him. Let us thank Him. Thank Him for answers to prayer, for so many deliverances in the year that has gone past, for His loving kindness, for His faithfulness, for the assurance of His good purposes for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to acknowledge our weaknesses, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, and help us, like the psalmist David, to cry out to you in the day of weakness. We pray, O God, that you might hear our prayers and our cries, and that you might be pleased to answer them. It might be at times that you will answer us directly and immediately. It might be that you have a plan to make us learn, to grow in a period of waiting as we cry out to you. But you do answer our prayers one way or another. You answer our prayers. You answer our cries. Father, we pray for the glory and honor to come to you through to your name, through the extension of your kingdom, throughout our land, throughout the ends of the earth. We pray for kings, for rulers, for nations, for peoples of every tribe and every tongue in this, the end, the remains of this year and in the coming year, to turn to you and to bring you the glory and the honor. Heavenly Father, go back to our homes this evening. We might return to some difficult situation. We might return to our own thoughts, our own concerns, our own troubles, our pain, our sorrow. Heavenly Father, give us a completely different perspective of our situation. Give us a perspective of it in the light of who you are and who we are to you, how precious we are to you. And let our cries and our pleas turn into praise and thanksgiving as we trust you, the Almighty, the Sovereign, Eternal God, who is our Father in heaven, who delights in us, who delights to bless us, who delights to do good things for us. Sometimes that might be through good things. Sometimes it might be through trials and difficulties. But help us, like the saints of old, to give you praise and thanks. We commit ourselves into your hands for the remainder of this year and whatever 2021 has in store. We pray, O God, that you'd keep us close to you, keep us near you, keep us near to one another, that we might love one another and show our love for you in loving one another. We pray, O God, that you would add to the number of your people here, and not only here, to every place where your name is exalted. Benediction. Benediction from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.